भुजदण्डे उपापनम् उपपन्नम् अष्टभिः इन्द्र उवाच इदमप्यच्युतविश्वभावनम् बभुरान्तकरं मनोदृशा सुरविद्युच्छमनैरुदायुधैर्जदण्डे उपपन्नम् अस्ति इन्द्र उवाच इदमप्यच्युतविश्वभावनम् बभुरानन्दकरं मनोदृशा ఇదమప్యచ్యుతవిశ్వభావనం
with arms
upapannam
possessed of
ashtabhi
with aid.
Translation King said, my dear Lord, your transcendental form with eight hands and weapons, and each of them appears for the welfare of the entire universe, and it is very pleasing to the mind and eyes. In such a form, your Lordship allows you to prepare to punish the demons who are envious of your devotees. Report is generally understood from revealed scriptures that the Lord Vishnu appears with four hands, but in this particular sacrificial arena, Lord Vishnu appeared with eight arms. Said, even though we are accustomed to see your four-handed Vishnu form, this appearance of eight arms is real as the four-handed form. As Lord Brahma had said, to realize the transcendental form of the Lord is beyond the power of the senses. In reply to that statement by Lord Brahma, King Yudhisthira said that even though the transcendental form of the Lord is not perceivable by the material senses, his activities in his transcendental form can be understood. The Lord's uncommon features, uncommon activities, and uncommon beauty can be perceived even by an ordinary man. For example, when Lord Krishna appeared, just like a 6 or 7 year old boy in Vrindavan, he was approached by the residents there. There were torrents of rain. The Lord saved the residents of Vrindavan by lifting Govardhan Hill and resting it on the finger of his left hand for 7 days. This uncommon feature of the Lord should convince even materialistic persons who want to speculate to the limit of their material senses. The activities of the Lord are pleasing to experimental vision also, but a personless will not believe in his identity because they study the personality of the Lord by comparing their personality to his. Because men in this material world cannot lift a hill, they do not believe that the Lord can lift one. They accept the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam to be allegorical, and they try to interpret them in their own way. But factually, the Lord lifted the hill in the presence of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, as corroborated by great acharyas and authorities like Vasudeva and Narada. Everything about the Lord, his activities, pastimes, and uncommon features, should be accepted as his. And in this way, even in our present condition, we can understand the Lord. In the instance herein, King Indra confirmed, your presence with eight hands is as good as your presence with four hands. There's no doubt about it. The wives of the performers of sacrifice said, my dear Lord, this sacrifice was arranged under the instructions of Brahma, but unfortunately Lord Shiva, angry at Daksha, devastated the entire scene. And because of his anger, the animals meant to sacrifice are lying dead. Therefore, the preparations of the yoga have been lost. Now, by the glance of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of the sacrificial arena may be again invoked. For animals were offered in sacrifice in order to give him renewed life. That was the purpose of having animals there. Offering the animal in sacrifice and giving him renewed life was the evidence of the strength of chanting mantras. Unfortunately, when Daksha's sacrifice was devastated by Lord Shiva, some of the animals were killed. One was killed just to replace the dead Daksha. Their bodies were lying about, and the sacrificial arena was turned into a crematorium. That's the real purpose of Yajna was lost. Lord Vishnu, being the ultimate objective of sacrificial ceremonies, were requested by the wives of the priest to glance over the Yajna arena with his causes of mercy so that the routine work of the Yajna might be continued. The purport here is that animals should not be unnecessarily killed. They were used to provide the strength of the mantras and were to have been rejuvenated by the use of the mantras. They should not have been killed as they were by Lord Shiva to replace the head of Daksha with an animal's head. It was pleasing to see an animal sacrificed and rejuvenated, and that pleasing atmosphere had been lost. The wives of the priests requested the animal to be brought back to life by the glance of Lord Vishnu to make it pleasing yamya. The sages prayed, dear Lord, your activities are most wonderful, and although you do everything by your different potencies, you are not at all attached to such activities. You are not even attached to the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by the great demigods like Brahma, who pray to achieve her mercy. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita says that the Lord has no desire to achieve any results in his wonderful activities, nor has he any need to perform them, but still, in order to give an example to people in general, he sometimes acts, and those activities are very wonderful. He is not attached to anything, namam, karmani, pati. Although he acts very wonderfully, he is not at all attached to anything. He is sufficient. Example is given here that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is always engaged in the service of the Lord, but still he is not attached to her. Even great demigods like Brahma worship the goddess of fortune in order to win her favor, but although the Lord is worshipped by many hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, he is not at all attached to any one of them. This distinction concerning the exalted transcendental position of the Lord is specifically mentioned by the great sages. He is not like the ordinary living energy who is attached to results of pious activity. King Indra said, my dear Lord, your transcendental form with eight hands and weapons, each of them appears for the welfare of the entire universe and is very pleasing to mind and eyes. In such a form, your lordship is also prepared to punish the demons who are envious of your devotees. Wives of the performers of the sacrifice said, my dear Lord, this sacrifice is arranged under the instruction of Brahma. Unfortunately, Lord Shiva, being angry at Daksha, devastated the entire scene, and because of his anger, the animals meant for sacrifice are lying dead. Therefore, the preparations of the yoga have been lost. Now, by the glass of your lotus eyes, the sanctity of this sacrificial arena may be again invoked. The sages pray, dear Lord, your activities are most wonderful, and although you do everything by your different potencies, you are not at all attached to such activities. You are not even attached to the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by the great demigods like Brahma, who pray to achieve her mercy. So here we have Indra speaking, and the wives of the priests, and the sages speaking. And of course, previously, Brahma spoke, and Shiva spoke, etc. So each, from their own point of view, praised the Supreme Lord, and therefore different people offer prayers because each has a different realization of the Lord. So Indra's relationship with the Lord is that he fulfills the orders of the Lord as king of Svargaloka, but sometimes the demons attack. So we see many stories in which Indra is removed from his position by the demons. And then the Lord comes and he saves him. and he restores order. So the fight between the demons and the devas is a constant theme in the Vedic literature, and the Lord sides with the devas. So Indra appreciates that, and therefore he says, you come and punish the demons who are envious of your devotees. So the Lord is the protector of Dharma and of the universe. He maintains the universe. And to do that, then he shows his four-armed or eight-armed form with all the different weapons. So he appreciates the Lord as the protector and maintainer of Dharma. And the wives of the priests, they also have a prayer. So they see the Lord in terms of continuing Dharma, because their husbands are involved in sacrifice, which means they are instituting the laws of Dharma by doing different rituals. So they want those type of activities to continue nicely, and therefore they pray to the Lord that the animals be revived so they can be sacrificed in the proper way. So of course, normally dead living entities do not come to life, but anything is possible for the Supreme Lord. So we see that Krishna got back the son of his guru, and we also see that Krishna brought back the six sons that of Devaki that Kamsa had killed, and he brought them back. So anything is possible for the Supreme Lord. Of course, in Lord Chaitanya's lila, he also revived his son. So in this way, anything is possible for the Supreme Lord, though normally death is inevitable. So to revive animals is nothing for the Supreme Lord. You can do that also. And then the sages speak. Now sages, of course, are more detached than Indra or priests or the wives of the priests or whatever. So they praise the Lord because of his detachment. So Indra praises the Lord because he helps him, and the wives of the priests praise the Lord because he can bring back the animals. But the sages praise the Lord because he's detached from everything in the material world. What this means, of course, is the Lord is neutral to the operations of the material world. It does not mean that the Lord is completely indifferent to everything, because the Lord says, of course, I don't like or I don't hate anyone, but I am very affectionate to my devotees. And so, therefore, actually the Lord is very attached. He's attached to devotees. But, of course, most of these sages are not on the level of bhakti. They are in the stage of atma-gyan or brahman realization, so they appreciate the detached aspect of the Supreme Lord. So it is necessary that the Lord be detached from the material world, because if creation and destruction go on, he cannot be affected by that. If he is part of creation and destruction, then he is temporary. So he has to be very separate from the creation and destruction of the material world and all of its operations. So definitely the Lord is removed. He's very, very distant from the material world. But we also see so the Lord enters into the material world as he's doing here. And he comes as avatar, and he performs pastimes within the material world, in spite of the fact that he's detached completely. So why does he come? Not because he's attached, because he's attached. He's attached to the devotees. So actually the Lord is attached to his devotees. So he says, you're not even attached to the goddess of fortune. Of course, in one sense, yes, in one sense, no. Yes, the Lord is, the goddess of fortune is always on the chest of the Lord, so therefore he must be attached to her. If he wasn't, he would discard her. So in that sense, yes, he is attached. So how is he detached from the goddess of fortune? So if we compare the goddess of fortune with the Krishna and Vrindavan, then we see that actually even Lakshmi becomes attracted to the Rasleela, but she can't get in. So she is not as qualified as the gopis. And so that means the Lord is attracted to the gopis and not to Lakshmi. So Lakshmi may be worshipped by Brahma and whatever, but in relation to Krishna, no, she's completely different. But Krishna is attached to his devotees in Vrindavan, especially to the gopis. So we should not think that the Lord is completely indifferent to everybody. Rather, the distinctive character of prema is that the Lord is controlled by the devotees, which means that he is controlled because of attachment. So ultimately, the Lord is attached. He's attached to all devotees, but that is also in various degrees. So the Lord is most attached in Vrindavan, and Vrindavan is most attached to the gopis. So, therefore, that is the more esoteric understanding. On the general level, in relation to the material world, yes, the Lord is completely detached from everything. There's no interest in anything in the material world. As far as his relationship in Vaikuntha, etc., how can he be detached? In one sense, he is, because he is Supreme Lord. He is independent, by very definition. So in that sense, he is not dependent on anything. In that sense, detached. But, we know that the Lord never exists without his Shakti. He never exists without his consorts. He never exists without his devotees. So though he is the Supreme Lord, nevertheless, in terms of bhakti, he is very attached. This is not a criticism of the Lord, not a fault in the Lord. Because this is an aspect of his compassion and mercy. So the Lord must be all merciful. And therefore, he becomes very considerate and attached and affectionate to his devotees. So we should not think of that in the same way as we think of material attachment. So yes, materially, he is completely attached. He has no interest in anything for his benefit. Of course, the question arises in the Brahma Sutra. Why does the Lord manifest the material world at all if he is detached? And the answer is Leela thought. Because of his Leela. So what is this? What is that? We're going to answer is that is Leela. So that means that the Lord has no particular desire. Now I will create this world so that I can get this or get that. So the Lord is not attached to anything, especially anything in the material world. So not for that reason. So Leela thought means it is created simply as an expression of the Lord's bliss. That is all, an aspect of his bliss, a secondary aspect of that. So the spiritual world is there because of the Lord's bliss also, the manifestation of his bliss. It's not created. But it exists as a manifestation of his bliss. So that is Leela thought. The manifestation takes place because of the Lord's Leela. And that Leela has no cause. It's intrinsic to the Lord. So in this way, the Lord is still detached. He doesn't do things for particular purposes. They're expressions of his wonderful nature only.
श्री श्री श्रीमद भागवतम की जय किशोर महाराज की जय प्रभुपाद की जय जय हरि बोल
ஒரு மணி நேரம்
करते हैं।